As we trust Christ as Lord, each of our lives are a testimony to Him. And this morning to look at two testimonies in the Scripture about the Lord, and also how our life really says Jesus is risen. And I hope that's a confession we first believe in our hearts. He rose from the dead, and we say with our mouth, because our lives say it also, Jesus is Lord. Well, the first great testimony about Christ being alive and risen from the dead comes from the early church and something they did by neglect, you might say. And it's concerning the tomb of Jesus and the early church's curious ignoring of Christ's place of burial. And that was really different for that part of the world in the Middle East, because where a person is buried really means everything. If you go to Egypt, you can see these huge pyramids made to the pharaohs. They were almost like God in the Egyptians' minds. Go there and visit the tombs of the pharaohs, and their bones are there. Or if you go to Jerusalem, it's the burial place of King David. Go there, his bones are there. If you were a Muslim, you can go to Saudi Arabia today and visit the tomb of Muhammad, and that's where he lays. And if you're a Buddhist, you can go to Thailand and see his grave. That's where he lays. But the early church, they didn't hang around Jesus' tomb. They didn't make a memorial out of that. It wasn't until years later when people said, well, let's go to the Middle East and retrace the steps of Christ, that Jesus' burial place was even important at all. And it gives great testimony to the Lord that he is risen. We can go and visit his tomb nowadays. Maybe some have. And he's not there. He's risen from the dead. And what a wonderful thing to serve and know a living Savior. And we don't have to go and rely on a shrine or something like that to make us right with God. He makes us right with God. He is our peace. So we thank the Lord for the testimony of the early church. And in a culture where death is feared and death is very much an intimidator, we do everything we can in a culture to postpone it and think, well, maybe that's the end. Christ comes with a message. He is risen from the dead. Reminds me of John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress, when he wrote essentially an autobiography about his life, how he felt about the world. He said his life was constantly harassed in that little book by doubt and despair and death. But Christian, in his book, which was a parable, put his hand on his ears and went through life and said, life, life, eternal life. And I hope that's your theme as you live. Life, life, eternal life. The testimony of the early church. And then we have the testimony of someone who I think we can identify with, Mary Magdalene. I picked her to see how the Lord related to her when he rose from the dead, because we could step into her shoes and be like her this morning. And I picked her too because she was the first one to see Jesus alive, risen from the dead. And she was also the first one to pass on the good news to others. And when you think about Mary's life, boy, it was a troubled life and a broken life. The Bible lets us know that she had had seven demons in her life that she could not get rid of. She was just controlled by an evil bigger than herself. And Jesus had to come and make her new. And he did that and set her free. So she was a brand new person. She was there when Jesus died. She cried. She was there when Jesus rose from the dead. And before she saw him, she was crying also. So she had a heart for the Lord in a great way. And nowadays, there's a little extra interest in Mary Magdalene because of the, I guess there's a new fiction book out called The Da Vinci Code. Talks about her. Fiction means a made-up story, you know. It talks about her, what she might have been like, and maybe her relationship with Jesus was like this. You know, that's a story that really doesn't help a person have faith in who Jesus really is. We have four faithful witnesses, reliable witnesses about Christ and about Mary Magdalene and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who both knew Jesus and knew Mary personally. And so when a book about the Da Vinci Code comes, and people have conversation about that and news tries to make it like real interesting, well, you could say with confidence, well, I don't have to trust the fiction writer
writing 2,100 years after Christ, I can trust people who saw Jesus and knew him and saw Mary Magdalene and knew her. And he gave great glory to Christ, how he changed Mary Magdalene's life. So here's a life changed by God. And our life is like Mary Magdalene's. We might not feel like there's seven demons controlling us. Well, sometimes life gets so wild and difficult, we might feel like, well, it feels like there's evil all around me and also in my heart. But she really, in her life, represents what sin could do to a person. Sin is like that in our hearts, you know. It can weigh us down. And there's nothing we could do to break free from that. We need somebody greater and bigger than us, who made us and loves us, to come into our lives and change us. Only Christ could do that. And Paul felt that way about sin in his own life. You know, he was an apostle. He followed Christ. And yet he said, you know, the good I want to do, I can't seem to do. And the bad I don't want to do, I do all the time. That's Paul's honest testimony. And he said, who's going to change my life? Who's going to deliver me from this body of sin and death? And he said, thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, he will do it. So whatever problem you and I have this morning that weighs us down heavily in our hearts, and some sin and some difficulty, we know Christ could change a life. He can change our life. And we have a comfort when we think of our dear loved ones. And if I go to gravesides of my loved ones or family members, I stand there and I know their body is there in the ground. But because Jesus rose, who they really are, their soul is with Christ forever. And so our thoughts are not toward the grave. And our thoughts are not toward a life that's overwhelmed by sin, but our thoughts are to a Savior who conquers both sin and death on our behalf. And personally, in being a pastor, I've never met a person possessed by seven demons. But Jesus did. And I know this, if Jesus can change Mary Magdalene's life, he can change my life, and he can change your life. And I hope you yield to him and trust in him in that manner. He's a great Savior. And then Jesus not only changed Mary's life, Jesus changed Mary's view of her deepest disappointments, her pain, her grief. And she did bring that to the tomb. She was crying there. And grief is something that you and I have to deal with in this world. And because the world is a very difficult place, it's fallen, it's full of brokenheartedness and sadness beyond description. There's separation that Mary felt being apart from Christ when he died. All the apostles were back in the upper room just praying to get through the next day. And Peter and John, they show up at the tomb a little later. But it's a sad thing to deal with grief. The world will break your heart. Jesus, who rises from the dead, says, take heart, I've overcome the world. And he greets Mary in the point of her deepest need. And what's the first thing he says to her? He calls her by name, Mary. And when you're at the point of your deepest need, the risen Christ will call your name. He'll call you by name. You listen to that from his Spirit and from his Word. And he'll call it because he loves you. He'll call it because he's given you the gift of himself. And he'll be there for you. You can bet on it. You can believe it. Don't bet on it. You can believe it as you would he was there for Mary. And you and I in this world, we have death and hell staring us in the face every day, don't we? I don't even have to watch the news to see evidences of death and hell. One honest preacher said, I don't have to watch the news. All I have to do is look in the mirror. Look into my own soul, what it looks like without the grace of God. So Mary was like that, staring death and hell into the face. Jesus comes to us. He calls us by name. He tells us in his word, I'm the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, even though they die, They will live. And I'm so thankful that you and I can face life with a risen Savior. The best gift we can receive at Easter time is the gift of Christ. Lord, thank you for you being a Lord and Savior. He's in charge of our lives because we cannot be in charge of them ourselves. Where do we get off doing that when He is our Creator and Redeemer? He's our Savior because He can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. Bring forgiveness and a new walk with Him. And what He did for Mary, He can do for you or your dearest friends and loved ones if you have a concern about this morning. So many in our world wake up on Easter morning and it's just another day. They eat and do whatever. And they feel down because of the evil in the world or perhaps their own soul. Christ could come and set them free. And one good final word about the victory of Christ. He wins it and He hands it to us. He wins the victory over death. He hands it to us. I thought of the Olympics of the past recent time here, the Winter Olympics. And any time the United States would win a gold medal, I think we won a few in skating. And that got my interest because I can't skate worth a hill of beans. I fall within 10 seconds on the ice. But when our country, when one person, see, just one person did well, they won a gold medal. I said, yay, we won. All of a sudden, I take that for myself, see. I feel thankful. Not only, they just didn't win for them, they won for all of us. And when Jesus rose from the dead, He said, I conquered death, not just for Him, but for all of you. And the best part of Jesus rising from the dead, you know what it is? I think, I like this, He did it single-handedly. Mary Magdalene didn't pray Him up out of the grave. Come on, Jesus, you can do it. We believe in you. Let's go for it. The early church didn't help Jesus one little smidgen. They were, you know, hiding and afraid as can be. And yet He wins over sin and death and hell. And He gets all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. And we get to say, thank you, Lord. And He is so gracious to share the results of His victory with each of us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer just said this about Jesus. This is a way to close and praise His name. He said, because of Jesus coming into the world, rising from the dead. He said this, from now on, no one can talk about God without speaking of Jesus. And no one can even talk about life without speaking of Christ Himself. And how true that is, and I hope it's a testimony of our lives. We embrace Him afresh today. He longs to make us brand new people. If we know Him, He keeps working on us in that end, toward that end. If we don't know Him, oh, He's so excited to start that new work in our lives. Might we pray as His people and follow Him as a risen Lord. Let's pray together. Jesus, You are alive, and here we come, just like Mary Magdalene. We're not sure what to expect. We're not sure how to follow. We're not even sure if You're going to be there, if we were honest with the unbelief in our own soul. And yet, You call us by name. And we would call back to You, Father, if we don't know You. We'd say, oh, Lord, You changed Mary's life. Change my life. I'm a sinner who needs forgiveness and a new life. Come into my life, Lord. Be Savior and Lord and friend. And help me follow You with other believers. Jesus, might our lives depict the great confession of truth by saying, Jesus is Lord. And might we follow You, Lord, not just carry good news, but follow You into this world of sin and difficulty. I pray for changed hearts this morning for any who do not know You. They would just say, Lord, be my Lord. And there will be someone born from above because You did it, dear Jesus. And for each believer, Father, help us to yield to You, to surrender our life, knowing that we can't even think about God or eternity or the next day without thinking about you. And that's because you are Lord, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You were dead, but you're alive forevermore. And thank you for being a conquering Savior. Bless us with a great day with you, dear Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.